Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast with Tim Elmore. My name is Andrew McPeak, and I'm your co-host. Tim, we are sharing with them a pretty interesting conversation today, a very helpful conversation, I hope. So I'm pretty excited about it.
I am too.
So the conversation that you had recently that we're sharing with them was with Mr. Dave Hart, who was a former athletic director at some pretty major
prestigious schools.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it was an honor, I know, to sit down with him. But we're really excited about sharing this conversation because of the leadership insights that he shares. I was kind of blown away by just the insight and experience that he has. So tell us a little bit more about Mr. Hart.
Yeah, in this conversation, listeners, you're going to find he has a wealth of experience and wisdom that's come from that experience.
Yeah.
Andrew, I think I first met Dave Hart in 2010 in Tuscaloosa when he was at Alabama. And they were winning a bunch of national championships down there in several sports, actually. I have the greatest respect for this man. He is a leader who understands the world of athletics. That's what he's been doing for decades. And he's proven that he knows how to make hard decisions. They happened all the time at all the places
he went to. He's dealt with some tough stuff.
Yeah. But as well as making big changes and building a culture that's healthy, respectful, and effective. And I think those are the three words that kept coming to my mind as I was hearing what he did at those institutions. Mm. So he has been at East Carolina.
Okay.
He's been at Florida State when Bobby Bowden was there winning championships there.
Wow.
At Alabama as Nick Saban was winning championships. And then at Tennessee as well, most recently, where he brought really two athletic departments, male and female, together during his time there. And that wasn't a popular thing with some, but proved to be a very, very wise decision for the unity of the school and for the PR of the university.
Wow.
So you're in for a treat, listeners. Just listen. You're going to hear me toss some questions to Dave, and I want you just to maybe get a pen if you can. If you're not driving, grab a pen, and you're going to want to take some notes on this great conversation.
Hey, it's Tim Elmore here at Growing Leaders, and in our work with athletic departments over the years, I've got to meet a lot of great people, but one of my favorite people that I've gotten to meet is the man sitting right to my left here, Dave Hart, who has served as an administrator in athletics for 35 years. Dave, thank you for sitting down with me and just allowing these people to listen in on a conversation about your journey and about what the lessons were that you learned.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Tim, and I feel very much the same about you and what's going on within Growing Leaders. And I've enjoyed every minute of my nearly 35 years in this industry. It's a great profession.
Absolutely.
It touches people. It touches young people in a very positive way.
Yeah. So let's just walk through your journey and maybe some of the greatest lessons you picked up at each athletic department you've served. So you began at East Carolina as an administrator, still green, but talk about some of the lessons you learned there.
Extremely green.
Yeah.
Ken Carr not only hired me into the profession, but he raised me in the profession. And it was the first time, Tim, that I'd ever been exposed to that level of mentorship. Mm. Now, my father was in the profession, and he was an unbelievable source and resource for me. But Ken took a chance on me. I didn't know much of anything about administration at that time. I had a special interest in marketing. He was creating a position. Which at that time, athletic marketing was not fashionable. But he treated Pam and me like we were his own children. So, you know, I began to notice as he gave me more and more responsibility, it began to dawn on me. I was 37 years old that this person sees something in me. I don't know what he sees in me, but he keeps giving me more and more responsibility.
Yeah.
And so that was my first exposure to someone who took an individual, young individual, under his wing.
Well, what I love about that is that's the kind of man you've become. Then you said, in turn, I'm going to pour into the young ones that come under me.
Absolutely, because I had been a student athlete, I had been a coach, but I'd never been in athletics administration.
Yeah.
And I can remember calling my father after the first staff meeting and telling my dad, I don't know what the guy was talking about. He was using terms that I've never even heard. And his response was, it's all part of the learning process. Ken will take you through.
Yeah, and he did. Yeah. So next stop?
Florida State,
okay.
Florida State was a terrific experience as well. And what I really learned there was the most important thing that you do as an athletics director is make hires, people. Mm-hmm. People make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, we really are who we are because of the people around us.
Yeah.
And when you have good people and everyone's moving in the same direction and everyone is prioritizing the student athletes first, building a student athlete centered program, the rewards from that are untold in numbers. And,
yeah.
and the gratification from that, Tim, is why we do what we do.
Yeah, so the lesson I think I'm hearing you talk about there is just hiring the culture you want and surrounding yourself with the best people you can, because you're only as good as the people that you put around you.
You have to hire the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that expedites the collective desire to put the priority on the student athletes. It's remarkable to me, Tim, and something I'm proud of. If you look at the coaches who our leadership team hired, so many of them are still there, and they're winning at a championship level. And that type of stability is not the norm.
It's rare.
It is rare.
Yeah.
Particularly as we look at where we are today in the profession.
Yeah. Talk about the next stop.
Well, the next stop was Alabama.
Yeah.
And Pam and I met at Alabama, so
okay. That
was special for us to have the opportunity.
Your alma mater, yeah.
That's correct, to go back. And I loved Mal Moore.
Yeah.
I loved Mal as a person and had known him for a long, long time. And he wanted me to come back and said, I'm going to turn the keys over to running the day-to-day operations. And he did that.
Yeah.
And I feel really good that collectively there we built a comprehensive championship level student athlete centered program. Mm-hmm. A lot of great things are already happening at Alabama.
Yeah.
But I think that was something everybody took great pride in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's where you and I met, and I'll never forget one of the early years I was visiting you for some events with coaches and athletes. I think Alabama won 4 national championships that year. I don't know how many SEC championships.
Yeah, that was one of those title town type of years. And something else about Alabama, Tim, and I had been doing this a while when I went to Alabama, but it was at Alabama that I realized how important the spouses, the partners were to building the type of cohesiveness that you need. There's no doubt in my mind that how you treat people matters.
Yeah.
And Pam, my wife, is very good at that. Mm-hmm. She excels. Terry Saban was terrific at that. And I've got to insert one story.
Okay.
We had won the national title in 2009 and were on our way to Washington, D.C. Players were so excited and have an opportunity to meet the president and be recognized nationally for the championship. A lot of waiting. You know, on the bus, waiting in this line, waiting in that line. We were in front of the building, ready to go into the White House. They were going to take us up some escalators. And Nick, who is very intense.
Yes.
I love Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Came over to me and said, Dave, when are we going to move?
When
are the lines going to move? I mean, you know, this is great, but we got to get somebody to get us moving. I told him what the process was and what would happen next and so on. I was behind Terry Saban on the escalator, and I said, Terry, just got done talking to your husband, who seems extraordinarily relaxed and happy about me. Well, she just broke into this laughter.
Yeah.
The importance of spouses. It is hard to be a coach's wife or husband. It is hard to hear all the noise and to do those things. And that's when it dawned on me that we needed to put a greater priority on paying attention
to the partners, to the spouses.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, and then your last stop was in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Again, we loved living every place we've been. Knoxville was a wonderful place to live.
Yeah.
And we had great people there to work with, many of whom were already there when I got there, and we hired to the culture we wanted, as we talked about earlier. We faced some challenges. Probably as I look back at the universities I was privileged enough to serve, Tim, probably we had more challenges at Tennessee than the other places, but to me, I had more personal gratification.
Yeah. Yeah, the greater the challenge, the greater the satisfaction.
And people pulled together.
Yeah, sure.
And we had some things going in that we had to address, the financial situation, the academic situation. We were 2 years into a six-year NCAA probation that had taken place in football and basketball. And I was charged with combining the program. So yeah. We had some challenges, but people pulled together. Our Jimmy Cheek, the chancellor, was fantastic. Our provost was great. Our head football coach had a whole lot to do with us making progress in those arenas. So it was very, very gratifying what the team was able to accomplish.
Yeah. So as we've talked about this, one of your greatest lessons was just it's part of the deal to make tough decisions. But along the way, if people pull together, you can make it through the toughest of times. And you prove that.
Well, tough decisions are a part of any
leadership.
Any leader's
job,
quite honestly.
No doubt about it.
And so, you know, that's how I've always looked at that. You know, as people, I'll give you an example. We went to an alternate gray uniform, smoky gray uniform, which programs across the country now have done. And actually, Tim, it's almost a necessity relative to recruiting.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of calls and feedback. It's generational. A lot of people called and said, Dave, you know, I'm a traditionalist, and I don't like this. I don't like we should be always wearing orange or white.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I'm a traditionalist.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
And we actually, the first year, we kept the helmet. So I said, we're going to go slow, and I don't want you to misinterpret my comment.
Yeah.
This isn't about me or you. It's about the kids.
Yeah.
It's about the student athletes. And I feel strongly that we have to listen to what they want, listen to their needs.
Yeah.
Won't always follow through, may not agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's something that if we're going to be a student athlete-centered program, then we're going to do things that are best for the student.
Yeah, I love that. So let's play off of that. You've always talked about a student-centered program. And you know that's where we live. That's totally what I believe in. That doesn't mean you don't do hard things, but you're going to look for the best interest of the student. Talk about some of the indicators in an athletic department that they would be a student-centered program. They're running a student-centered program.
I think the student athlete's collective ability to greet people when they're in the building, to introduce themselves, to ask if that individual needs assistance without prodding.
Tim. Yeah, yes.
I think when you see indicators such as that, you know that you're on the right path to building a student athlete center program. When the student athletes walk into your office, and just want to say hello, no agenda.
Yeah.
Just want to talk about things that don't have anything to do with their sport.
Yes.
They just want to visit. Yeah. They, you know, I've had student athletes during my career many, many times come into my office and look at trinkets or mementos.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Mr. Hart, tell me about that. What's the story behind this?
Yeah.
You know, when they feel comfortable around the administration, when they feel comfortable around coaches, when they see that we're student-athlete-centered because they're welcomed in all the other facilities.
Yeah.
It's not, hey, this is not your facility.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? When student-athletes begin to verbalize their appreciation for those types of things occurring, you see the maturity kicking in. You see the appreciation that they are in a program that prioritizes the student-athlete first.
Good. So warm and welcoming, safe place to talk and visit. What are some other indicators?
Well, you've got indicators from staff and coaches.
Yeah.
And that's very important. I've always said during my career, from a discipline perspective, from an academic priority perspective, if it's important to the coach, it's important to them. Now, conversely, if it's a facade.
Yeah. They can
to the coach, they know it immediately.
Yeah.
So when you talk about, even though we use the terminology student-athlete-centered programs, it's critical that the staff and the coaches are on board and participating in that priority.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What would you say, because you've seen so much over 35 years, are some of the things that would prevent this kind of culture? We all want it. We all say we want it. It's on the marble walls of the administration building. What prevents it from happening?
dysfunction, reluctance to buy in. Some of the tough decisions you have to make as a leader is identifying those who have not bought in and won't buy in. And deciding what to do about that. But I think a lot of times those signs are obvious. And again, it's hard, but leaders have to address the priorities and address the people who are supporting those particular priorities. And we live in a very pressurized environment.
No doubt.
The industry's changed dramatically, even in the last few years. You look at the turnover rate in of coaches. I'll give you a great story. At Florida State, when Bobby Bowden came to Florida State, many people don't remember this, but he inherited a program that had not won a game. Matter of fact, hadn't won many games in the previous 5 years. Bobby had a rebuilding job. And the first few years, the rebuilding was taking a long time. This story is embellished by Gene Deckerhoff, who was the play-by-play voice and still is in Tallahassee and for the Bucks. So Gene says he was sitting at dusk in his car, and he saw this solitary figure, a little slumped over, coming out of the building. He was getting ready to back out, and he said, "Well, that's Bobby." And he said, "I noticed he was dejected." He had a briefcase in one hand, and he got to his car, and he was fumbling for his keys. Gene put his window down and yelled, "Bobby." Well, Bobby looked around and didn't see anybody. So he continued to try to get the key to open his door. Gene said, "Bobby." Bobby said, "Is that you, Gene? Where are you?" He said, "Look through your car window. I'm two cars over." So Bobby bent over and he saw him. And Gene said, "Look, coach, I know it's tough. And I just wanted to tell you, I am still 100% behind you. I just don't want anybody to see me talking to you." So that's the world. That's the world that that coaches live in today.
There's high pressure. So you've described some of the things that prevent it. And it can be, I mean, one word to use to describe some of what you said was just our ego. We get in our own way. We don't want to change. We don't want to adjust to the new athlete we've got today. And that's got to be overcome. And the athletic director is going to be key. Are they willing to make some tough decisions?
Well, I think, Tim, that it's inherent in human nature that it's hard to change. People don't like change. But that's how organizations and corporations, that's how we move forward.
No doubt.
You can't just stand still. And no matter what business you're in, what industry you're in, leaders move programs forward. And if you ever met anyone in your life who everyone likes, I promise they've never made a tough decision.
Tough decision, absolutely. I remember in my 20 years working with John Maxwell, he used to say, "You can certainly change without growing, but you cannot grow without changing." And that's in many ways what you're saying. So in your last assignment at the University of Tennessee, what were some of the steps you took? Because you need to make some changes. What were some of the steps you took that really made it, in the end, a more student-athlete-centered, focused?
Communication.
Okay.
Communication is so critical in our world, really, and particularly in a leadership role. And I think when you're in stressful situations, number one, you've got to stay up on the high road, and you've got to have the courage to make decisions that maybe will not be popular, but will move the organization forward. And we had great people. But, you know, I mentioned our chancellor was very, very supportive in what we were doing. Our student athletes and coaches, the most gratification you can have, and I've seen it at every place I've been fortunate enough to work, is when your coaches collectively say, "This is the best culture that we've been involved in," then you know that you're way down the road in developing a student-athlete-centered program. When your student-athletes are engaged, you know, we had 65 student-athletes at our home. We had the captains at our home. We, you know, you need to be seen as a real person. Somebody in an ivory tower that you only can peek in, you're off limits. Quite the opposite. And I think, and I'm proud to say that at the four institutions I've been privileged to work, we had good people, good coaches, good culture.
That's good. So Dave, let's get really practical. At the four institutions you've worked at, you were new at one point and you took some initial steps. What would you recommend, or just tell your story, what were some of the initial steps you took to build this student-athlete-centered department, one that was focused on getting athletes ready for life, not just winning games and matches? What would you say?
I think there are components, Tim, that you have to prioritize and examine in a very deliberate way. What is your structure?
Yeah.
And does it currently support a student-athlete-centered program? Evaluate and assess your efficiencies.
Yeah.
Are you as efficient as you can be or should be, keeping in mind the same thing? We want a student-athlete-centered program.
Yeah.
I mentioned the communication. Mm-hmm. Alignment with the campus is absolutely critical. And you have to build the alignment. That's not the responsibility of anyone else. That's the responsibility of you sitting in the chair as director of athletics. Athletics has never been, never will be, the most important thing on a campus. But it is clearly the most visible element within that total university structure.
It's the PR.
It's the passion point. So
right.
That communication with your chancellor or president, whatever the case might be, whatever state you're in, those titles have a different meaning. But are you in alignment? What is the athletic department's role within that total university structure?
Yeah.
One of the things I've done, again, at every school that I've been blessed to serve, is create relationships with the leadership on campus, not just with the leadership within the athletics program. The Student Government Association, those officers, people who have leadership roles within the student body. We've always had them come to our offices. We've had our coaches, particularly our football and basketball coaches, sit with us and for an hour and just talk through many things. How can we help them get them to understand what we're doing? You know, I think that relationship is critical, and I've seen the results of that relationship in many forms, all positive. You know, a lot of schools, Tim, the students aren't attending games, and it's becoming a greater challenge as our industry changes and life basically changes. But because of that relationship, we've had tremendous success at the schools we've worked. I said it earlier, you have to be a real person. That's what life is about.
That's
how you build relationships. So I think those assessments are very, very important.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to articulate, here's what we're doing and how we're doing it. Another measure that's been successful for me during my career was sitting down with staff members with a predetermined list of questions so that everybody is on the same level.
Yeah.
And then asking questions like, what is, and this is early on when you take a new job, tell me, what is our mission here? I was surprised in each case how few people could answer the question.
Yeah.
And this was a common response. Well, I know we have one because it's in the media guide somewhere. Well, that's not trying to live it. What page is that?
Where's that cue card?
Exactly. I think it creates awareness that, we all need to be on the same page, pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
And that is not easy. That takes time, and it takes some tough decisions.
Yeah.
And it takes just a level of tenacity. But when you slide into home, it's the best feeling that you could have as a leader.
No doubt about it. Take 1 minute. What are some of the downsides of failing to do this? Somebody might say, that's too many tough decisions for me, and there's no way. You don't know our history. We could never do that. You know, going to the bonfire when the students ask you to go to the bonfire for an hour. What are the downsides if we don't do it?
Well, if we don't do it, it shouts a lack of preparation, and it shouts a lack of anticipation. You have to be able to anticipate issues.
Yeah.
You can save yourself a lot of headache by doing so. I think it's indicative of a dysfunctional operation. Because the planning process, the deliberation that takes place, should have already addressed what we want to look like. And if we don't, the signs of failure begin to crop up all around you. And it's failure of everyone engaged. But it falls back on the leader.
Absolutely. In fact, what I think I just heard you say as I listened between the lines is, begin with the end in mind. What do you want to end up with? And then work backward from there and say, well, we're not there yet, here and there. But you begin to work toward a clear vision.
You do. You don't get in your car and start driving around.
That's right. You have a destination.
You have a destination.
Yeah.
So that's where the leadership team on campus, the president, the chancellor, and his or her leadership team, and the leadership team in athletics, that's where the alignment also comes in. But people have to feel comfortable with the environment that they're working in it being a collaborative environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so one last big question. We're going to get really practical here. If you were to advise an administrator, an AD, on maybe the first few steps toward this end goal we just talked about, a student-athlete-centered department, what would be some of the first few steps you might recommend, given it's a general department like the ones you've been in?
Well, I think the assessment of where are you now.
Yeah, good.
That's number one, because you can't plan until you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So you have to assess the current environment. Then I think the planning, the collaboration, the people who are involved. You can't say you're a student-centered athletics program and not have students at the table. Mm. And I'm talking about not only student athletes, but as I said,
students.
Leaders within the student body on the campus at which you work. And then I think, again, nothing works without the support of the coaches. Mm. These young men and women spend an inordinate amount of their time with their coach.
Yeah.
And it's no different than raising your own children. There are times when discipline is imminent and should be applied. There are times when they have to understand that, look, we're here to help you, but the punitive stage has already occurred. Now let's talk. You have to help yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're here to help you. Mm-hmm. And remember this, and I say it all the time. These are 17 to 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
Now, you have to go back in your memory bank, and pretty soon you begin to have flashes of those memories where you made terrible decisions, or at least bad decisions. So you have to keep that in mind, and there's a balance when you assess the decision-making. Today, those 17 to 22-year-olds live in the biggest fishbowl you can ever imagine because of social media.
Yeah.
And the message I've given to student athletes is when you make a mistake, one that you may not think is that serious in nature, turn on ESPN, and our logo is behind your mugshot, basically.
Yeah.
That's where you're headed, so you have to think before you act. Tough. You know, we get older. They don't.
Yep.
We're always dealing with 17 to 22-year-olds. So a lot of very serious things to take into consideration, but it's worth the time, the energy, the communication, and the effort to establish a student-athlete-centered program.
I agree. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time just to talk through your memories, the principles you picked up along the way, and I love what you're describing. May this happen all across this country in the future. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tim and Mr. Hart, for that conversation. It was incredible to hear all of the wisdom and insight that Mr. Hart had from his years of experience working in athletic departments. Here's the thing. If you are listening and you're in an athletic department and thinking, we could really use some of that wisdom and some of that insight at our department, let me encourage you. He is actually a speaker for us at Growing Leaders. He travels all around and talks to people about the very things that he talked about here in this recording, on this podcast. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to have these kinds of conversations, we encourage you to invite him out to come speak to your athletic department. You can find out more information about him as a Growing Leader speaker at growingleaders.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.